verse in the Psalms comes to mind to me. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him?
The person speaking is the astronaut Buzz Aldrin, part of the Apollo 11 mission in 1969, and the second man to walk on the surface of the moon. His words came towards the end of the Apollo mission as a reflection back on his journey from Earth to the moon, the flight down to the moon's surface, and the safe passage back to the command module. According to Aldrin, Psalm 8 helped inspire his colleague Neil Armstrong's words as he stepped onto the moon's surface, one small step for a man, a giant leap for mankind. The two astronauts placed a capsule in the lunar dust. Inside the capsule is the text of Psalm 8. O Lord, our Governor, how glorious is your name in all the world. I was 12 when Apollo 11 landed on the moon. I can remember watching the landing live in the classroom of my school in Halifax. The moon landings gave us a new perspective on space and humanity and life on Earth. For the first time, human beings could take pictures of the Earth from the surface of another body in space. We could see our significance, but also how small we are, even within the solar system, let alone within the universe. The more we discover of space, the greater the significance of these words. You have set your glory above the heavens. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Psalm 8 is the first real song of praise we have come to in the book of Psalms. It's the first psalm which focuses on the creation. There'll be many others. Psalm 8 is set in the middle of five songs of complaint on each side of it. As we read the book of Psalms from beginning to end, the notes of praise are much fainter near the beginning and grow stronger as we move through the book until we come to the final hallelujahs. Psalm 8 echoes the story of creation in Genesis 1. The two passages need to be read together. In both we read of the moon and the stars, the great lights which govern the night. In both we read of the responsibility of humankind to guide and govern creation. In both we read of the cattle, the fish of the sea, and the birds of the air. Psalm 8 has been interpreted in two different ways by Christians. If you read the Psalms in the Church of England's translation for common worship, you will see that Psalm 8 is printed twice in two slightly different translations. That's not because there are two different and ancient versions of the text. The Hebrew is exactly the same. But there are two different and ancient interpretations of the text. The key verse is verse 5. One translation says this: What are mortals that you should be mindful of them, mere human beings that you should seek them out? Looking at the moon and the stars and the heavens changes our perspective and raises fundamental questions about our humanity and who we are in this vast universe. The second translation says this: What is man that you should be mindful of him, the son of man that you should seek him out? This translation preserves the literal meaning of the text, Son of Man, because this becomes, in the New Testament, one of the titles of Jesus, and so Psalm 8 has a special place in the New Testament's understanding of who Jesus is and who Jesus is in relation to the creation of the universe. These two interpretations are not exclusive, but complement each other. As we read Psalm 8 in lockdown, we need to explore both of them and both of these themes in turn. The first reading first, then. What are mortals that you should be mindful of them, mere human beings that you should seek them out? Connecting with creation always evokes a response of wonder and awe at the size and complexity and the beauty of the universe. Whether we're looking up at the moon and stars at night, spending time outdoors, as many of us have in recent weeks, looking through a microscope, or like Buzz Aldrin, riding a spaceship to the moon. The created world and the universe are truly amazing. Next to the immensity and beauty of space, of the heavens, we feel insignificant, and yet we know we are not, from the perspective of both faith and science. James Lovelock is one of the most influential scientists of our time, the author of the Gaia Hypothesis, and a leading figure behind the global environmental movement. Last year, to mark his 100th birthday, he published a new book, The Novocene, The Coming of Age of Artificial Intelligence. The first chapter of the book is called We Are Alone. Only on Earth, Lovelock believes, has the universe evolved intelligent life, capable of observing and then exploring and then understanding what this universe is. Let me read you his first paragraph. Our cosmos is 13.8 billion years old. Our planet was formed 4.5 billion years ago, and life began 3.7 billion years ago. Our species, Homo sapiens, is just over 300,000 years old. Copernicus, Kepler, Galileo and Newton appeared among us only in the last 500 years. For all but a brief moment of its existence, the cosmos knew nothing of itself. Only when humanity developed the tools and the ideas to observe and analyze the bewildering spectacle of the clear night sky did the cosmos begin to awaken from its long sleep of ignorance. Lovelock then asks the question of whether the intelligent life which has evolved here on Earth has evolved elsewhere, which is the strong creed of science fiction. Lovelock believes the evidence and probability say otherwise. He argues that we are the only creatures in the whole of the universe capable of observing and understanding that universe. And we ourselves are on the brink of extinction because of what we're doing to our planet. The universe is awe-inspiring, and so I believe is the God who created this universe, which has not come about by chance out of nothing, but by intention, as the outpouring of the grace and the love of God. Within this universe and within our world, God has made many and wonderful things, rehearsed in Psalm 8, the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the sheep and the oxen and the beasts of the field. But none is as wonderful as humankind. What are mortals that you should be mindful of them? Human beings are the high point of creation, endowed with the ability to see and understand the wonder of the universe and the wonder of their own being and creation. We are the only part of the cosmos which can observe and understand the cosmos, and understand that we are fearfully and wonderfully made ourselves. Bonaventure, a medieval theologian and Franciscan, says this: for the perfection of the universe, there had to be a creature endowed with a twofold sense, to understand the book written within the soul and without the visible world, that is, wisdom and its works. God pours out his love into creation and into humankind, and the pinnacle of creation is humanity. We are that key part of creation, able to understand the world and all that is in it, to give glory back to God, and also to understand ourselves and our calling to be in a relationship with our Maker. No wonder it takes our breath away. I saw my new granddaughter a couple of days ago. It was a very, very happy day. Millie was born on the 5th of March, just before the lockdown, and I met her on the day she was born, but I haven't been able to see her since, which has been really hard. She takes my breath away. She's beautiful and amazing, able to smile and kick her legs in the air and express delight and frustration and to love and to be loved. God willing, she will grow up and be in awe of this beautiful world and know the God who sustains the world and who made her to know God and enjoy God forever. I'm sure Millie will grow up being told the story of how she was born during the great COVID pandemic of 2020, and how the first months of her life were marked by lockdown. But I'm even more sure that she will learn as she grows that the greatest peril facing her future in 2020 was not COVID, but climate change and global warming. COVID is terrible. The pandemic has taken lives and robbed people of loved ones and has threatened our way of life for a time and will bring economic pain in its wake. We are still in the middle of enduring it. But if Psalm 8 gives us a perspective on human life, it is that this pandemic is not the greatest challenge of our generation. The greatest challenge we and our children and our grandchildren will face is humanity's systematic destruction of the environment through emission of greenhouse gases and the pollution of the oceans. Psalm 8 reminds us of our responsibilities of stewardship. Dominion is given to us over creation, not so that we can exploit the earth, but so that we can treasure the natural world and hand it on to our grandchildren in a cleaner, better and more sustainable way. The pandemic has become the most terrible wake-up call, a reminder of the fragility of life, even in so-called developed countries. A tiny virus, invisible to the naked eye, has caused immense destruction and suffering. But this is as nothing compared to the prospect of global warming at 3 degrees or 4 degrees or 5 degrees, which Millie is likely to know in her lifetime, unless something changes, and changes very soon. The pandemic has caused us to stop and reflect. What kind of a world do we really want? What kind of a world can we rebuild from here? Will we continue along the path to certain and permanent destruction of our planet and our whole way of life? Or can we use this moment to reset our priorities globally and place the stewardship of the earth at the centre of our priorities? The COVID crisis must surely be the moment when the world presses the reset button, and the church which sings this psalm must be at the forefront of the care for the earth, in our example, through our lives, in our words, and in our actions. God, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, pours his love into creation and creates humankind as its pinnacle, to be capable of awe and wonder, to know our Maker and to be known, and to exercise stewardship of the earth. On this understanding, Psalm 8 answers the psalm's own question. This is the meaning of what it is to be human. But what of the second understanding? The understanding that is taken up by the New Testament in Hebrews 2 and 1 Corinthians 15 and Ephesians 1. Psalm 8:5 is seen to refer most of all to Jesus, the Son of Man, who humbled himself and is exalted by God to the highest place. What is man that you should be mindful of him? The Son of Man that you should seek him out? You have made him a little lower than the angels, and crown him with glory and honour. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands, and put all things under his feet. This understanding of Psalm 8 takes us further up and further in to God's purposes. For God is even more than our Maker. God is also our Redeemer, the one who remakes and transforms humanity through the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, enters into God's creation, is fully God, and becomes fully human to redeem and lift up our human nature, to give his life for our life, to establish God's kingdom, and to overcome death. According to the great hymn to Christ in Colossians 1, the whole universe was created in and through Jesus Christ. All things have been created in and through him. He is the one who has the perfect understanding of the visible world and the inner world, the creation and the human soul and character. The Word enters into the world to tend and to mend and to make new and to give his very self for the world's own salvation. We wonder with Psalm 8 at the glory of God in creation and at the glory of God in every human person. But we wonder even more deeply at the glory and mystery and love of God revealed in Jesus Christ, the Son of Man and Son of God, who is the centre of God's purpose in creation and salvation. O Lord our Governor, how glorious is your name in all the world. Despite all that is happening around us, we begin already to be caught up in the great heartbeat of praise which runs through the Psalms. When Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin made their epic journey to the moon, they experienced a radical change of perspective. Their understanding of the universe was widened and deepened. The Earth seemed at the same time to be both smaller and bigger. Smaller in relation to the whole, but bigger in terms of God's purposes. Their changed perspective became ours as we saw the Earth for the first time from outer space, its vastness, its beauty, and its uniqueness in the solar system and beyond. Like Armstrong and Aldrin, we are making our own journey through this terrible pandemic. Most of us will have a fresh perspective on the fragility of life and the preciousness of ordinary things and peaceful days. Most of us will have had time to think and to reflect on what is truly important in our own lives and in our own generation. I hope and pray that the great lessons of Psalm 8 will be at the very centre of our learning, that the creation is indeed beautiful beyond words and entrusted to our care, that humankind is a deep mystery, that each person has the capacity to understand both the book written within the soul and without the visible world, that is wisdom and its works, that God's purposes and nature are revealed most sharply and clearly in Jesus Christ, the Son of Man and Son of God, who stoops to enter the creation and lives and dies and conquers death to redeem the world. May we emerge from this pandemic determined to be better stewards of the earth than we have been, with a deep repentance for the course our world has taken. May we emerge with a determination to see a different kind of economics and a different kind of growth. May we emerge with a new respect for all of humankind and for human life and set that respect at the heart of the life of the church, the nation, and the world. And the next time you look up at the moon, remember that buried in the dust, in the sea of tranquility, is a capsule. And in the capsule are written the ancient words of Psalm 8. When I consider the heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have ordained, what are mortals that you should be mindful of them? Mere human beings, that you should seek them out.